اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. هو الله. I've come another night in this blessed month to speak to you, to feel your presence, to tell you that I don't want to be away from you. I feel ashamed. You have only given me, but I have not been obedient. I have not been thankful. And I know being thankful is only good for me. You've told me to be thankful for my own good. I've come tonight again to ask you to help me. I can't do this on my own. I realize my deficiencies. I've created chains that bog me down, the habit that I've developed. Every time I want to leave them, then come at me strong, oh Allah. I ask you to relieve me of that baggage and those chains. I realize there are people that have a close connection with you. I've heard Amirul Mu'mineen has said, there are those that najam fi fikrihim wa kallamahum fi dhat uqulihim. You speak to some people. I've read in your book, you tell me you spoke to Moses, you spoke to Jesus, you spoke to Muhammad, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, wa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. I'm jealous, I envy them. I know it's too much for me to ask. Who am I to ask you to speak to me? Look at me, even you allow me to say these words is out of your mercy. Otherwise, this filthy heart of mine does not deserve to be allowed to say these words. But Ya Allah, I've read in your book, you've said that you will raise whomever you wish to whatever status you are. I know I don't deserve, but you are able, you have the power, you have the mercy. I beg you, by the right of your loved ones, Muhammad and all of Muhammad, I beg you, by the Imam of my time, you raise me amongst your loved ones. I've experienced this lower life. Now I understand why you call it the lowest. I know every time I get busy again I forget, but you have awoken me, you have wakened me up. And I see how this is so worthless compared to being with you. But I have trouble every time you wake me from my sleep in the material realm. I put myself back to sleep again by going back to my material desires. Ya Allah, I apologize for all my disobedience. I apologize for turning away from you every time you bring me close to yourself. I apologize. Allah ya al-af, al-af, al-af. Forgive me. forgive me. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة اللهم أذنت لي في دعاك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي وأقل يا غفور عثرتي فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وعثرة قد أقلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده الظاهر بالكرم مجده الباسط بالجود يده الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما إنه هو العزيز الوهاب اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما وغناك عنه قديم وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجما مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي علامك ولعل الذي أبطى عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور. فلم أر مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي. يا رب إنك تدعوني فأولي عنك وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك كأن لي التطول عليك. فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك. فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك، إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الإصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه، وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام، الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا ظهير يعاضده، قهر بعزته الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء، فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أنادي ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصي، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازي. فكم من موهبة هنية قد أعطاني، وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني، وبهجة منقة قد أراني، فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا. الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله. والحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين. والحمد لله قاصم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين مع موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين. الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج الجبال ومن يسبح في غمراتها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وسالف وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم. وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمن والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك. استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله. مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له. أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به وانصره وانتصر به انصره نصرا عزيزا وافتح له فتحا يسيرا واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتذل بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المن به شعثنا واشعب به صدعنا وارتق به فتقنا وكثر به قلتنا وأعزز به ذلتنا وأغن به عائلنا واقض به عن مغرمنا واجبر به فقرنا وسد به خلتنا ويسر به عسرنا وبيض به وجوهنا وفك به أسرنا وأنجح به طلبتنا وأنجز به مواعيدنا واستجب به دعوتنا وأعطنا به سؤلنا وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة أمالنا وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين ويا وأوسع المعطين. اشف به صدورنا وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك، إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا إله الحق آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله وغيبة ولينا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا، فصل على محمد وآله وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجله وبضر تكشفه ونصر تعزه وسلطان حق تظهره ورحمة منك تجللنا وعافية منك تلبسنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. We have only a couple of nights left before we start Layal al-Qadr, or the nights that we expect one to be Laylatul Qadr. And so we should be doing a lot more istighfar. And that the effect of that istighfar is creating more of a want in our hearts to find and get rid of problems. Istighfar is acknowledging fault, acknowledging shortcoming, and expressing a desire to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Him to correct that. And hopefully the istighfar that we do is actually istighfar, not just repeating a word or a couple of words and not really intending what it is. When we do istighfar, we should be mindful of that meaning, and we should feel that we are filled with flaws and faults and problems and issues and illnesses and darkness. If we don't feel that, then it's not real istighfar, and therefore there will not be a real response to that, meaning that will not be removed from us. We need real istighfar. One of the areas that we need istighfar, and we need to correct our behavior, correct our conduct. And so when we ask Allah to forgive us, and we ask Him for istighfar, we ask Him and we say astaghfirullah rabbi wa atubu ilayh, if we're asking to change, there's also got to be an intention to make changes, and an intention to identify the flaws, the problems within, and to go about doing what my taklif is to change them. I ask Allah on one hand and tell Him I am really not capable. On the other hand, the other thing that I need to do is there's certain taklif, certain responsibilities, certain obligations in regards to those faults and flaws and problems that I have that I need to engage in. Allah will give me the tawfiq with that combination, and eventually those problems will be resolved, inshallah. One of the areas that we are in real need of change, and I think I spoke about this before, I'm not sure if it was during the month of Ramadan or before, but it is something that we are in need of reminding ourselves more than once, a lot more than once, is a matter of our akhlaq, our behavior towards our, especially the ones that we are with on a regular basis. That's usually our spouse, our children, our parents, our siblings. Those are the ones that usually we are in more frequent and closer contact with. And that's where we have more tests in terms of our akhlaq. What Islam tells us is that if we want to reach the nearness of Allah, the proximity of Allah, if we want to get close to Him, the only way to do that is by correcting our deeds. This doesn't mean that this is the only thing that is required, but it is something without which it's not going to be possible. There's a very well-known account that I have been told by a number of teachers in the Hawza, not necessarily my own teachers, but these are teachers of the Hawza that have mentioned, and so I quote them on this, that Ayatollah Hasanzada Amali was one of the scholars, one of the individuals that is known to be involved in this path of purification and reaching the proximity of the divine. He has tried to embark on that journey and move forward at a point in his, I'm not sure how young he was, but it's not in the recent years, that he had a situation where while he was making progress that he was able to notice in terms of perhaps certain maybe dreams, certain experiences that he was having. It's not clear to me what exactly it was, but it was something that was clearly a blessing from Allah, a spiritual blessing from Allah, that is a reward for the good deeds that a person has done. Then obviously he's got a family and so on, and there was, he didn't pinpoint this himself in family life. Later on I'll explain where he came to know this is the problem, but something happened with a child of his apparently, and he got angry and he said something with a certain tone to that child that was not worthy. And this is important. This is, we're talking about Ayatollah Hasanzada Amali, someone who is known to be on this path. Not an average person, not an ordinary person. This is someone that is very careful. And after that, he didn't realize it was right after this, but he went on, and then eventually he realized that that blessing that had been given to him, what he was able to experience, was taken away from him. And obviously, the spiritual blessings are not like the material blessings. When you lose material blessings, you get depressed, you're saddened, you don't like to lose those material blessings. But if you think these material blessings have give you a feeling of joy, and it's a good experience, you don't want to lose that. Spiritual blessings are way more advanced than that. The joy that is felt from spiritual blessings is not comparable to material blessings. I think we've quoted Ayatollah Bahjat a number of times. He has said, if the kings of the world were able to feel, this is what we're talking about, spiritual blessings, not the ibadah that we do. God gives a touch of spiritual feelings, what it means to feel in the presence of God. It's so enjoyable that is outside of this world. If that feeling is given to a person, Ayatollah Bahjat said they would leave everything, their rule, all their the luxuries, the jewels, everything they have, they would leave it all in order to get the feeling of 2 rak'ah of prayer only. So after losing that blessing that he was experiencing, he was asking Allah to help him and trying different things to get it back, and it wasn't working. According to the account, he traveled from his town, apparently somewhere in the northern strip by the Caspian Sea in Iran, to Ayatollah and Allama Tabatabai's brother. Allama Tabatabai had a brother who was also in the more known for his spiritual advancement than his knowledge, like Allama Tabatabai. Anyhow, he says he made his way to that individual around Tabriz. So it's a good day travel. It's at least 8-9 hour bus ride, if not longer, to get there. He made this travel. He went over there and saw him and explained the situation. He didn't explain what it was. That shows that Ayatollah Ilahiyat Tabatabai is more advanced, and that's why he went to him. He knows that this individual can help him. He's going to a teacher, someone who is really one of the awliya of Allah. He tells him, I'm dealing with this. He said, do you expect that you shout at a child and this is not taken away from him? He didn't tell him what he's done, but he realized what the problem is. This is simply one example. If on Laylatul Qadr we're supposed to be working towards getting closer to Allah, it's not possible while we have the akhlaq that we have towards people in general, but especially those that we deal with on a more regular basis, that we have more tests with. It's just not possible. We have got to correct that akhlaq. One thing about that is to know what correct akhlaq is. Knowing what correct akhlaq is the first important step. If I don't know what correct akhlaq is, then I will have the wrong akhlaq. I will, for example, think that good akhlaq means to always be pleasant. That's not the case. Good akhlaq means never to raise your voice. That's not true. Good akhlaq means never to feel angry. Always you have to always calm yourself down. That's also not true. Islam doesn't say anger is wrong, period. We don't have that. Raising your voice is wrong, period. We don't have that. These are all assumptions that are made. And I honestly don't know where they come from. But as soon as we feel like we need to correct our akhlaq, then we feel like we just have to force ourselves to be pleasant at all times. That's not what correct akhlaq means. Sometimes correct akhlaq is to raise your voice. Sometimes correct akhlaq is to get on to someone. Sometimes correct akhlaq is to get on that child. Sometimes correct akhlaq is to raise your voice against that child. The problem in that case that was mentioned is that it was raised where it shouldn't have been raised. That's the problem. It's not about raising the voice, period. That is not wrong in Islam in all cases. There are cases that not only are you told not to raise your voice, you are told you must raise your voice. We can't assume what it is. We've got to go and learn it. Find out what the correct akhlaq is. And honestly, the only way to do that is that when we're confused, if it's clear to us what the Islamic teaching is, then act accordingly. When it's not clear, go and ask someone that knows. It's difficult to pinpoint some of these details and to explain them in speeches or anything of that nature. So the first thing is we've got to learn what correct akhlaq is. One thing that is a little more essential in trying to correct the akhlaq, besides learning what correct akhlaq is, what good akhlaq is getting rid of shuhun nafs. Once we identify what we need to do, that's not going to cause us to do the right thing. That's not going to cause us to do the right thing. We want to, and that's important. That's a good first step. We need to start wanting to move in that direction, correct my behavior. But it's not going to be easy that as soon as I want that, it just happens. When I have shuhun nafs, when I have my desires, when I have my recognition of the self as the center, as the one that everything and everyone needs to respect and feed into, if I have the trouble of seeing myself as the center, this is a very delicate matter that we must try to understand this. We don't realize that we are considering ourselves that center. We many times, in our encounter with people, in our discussions, in our debates, in our conversation, in something going wrong and blaming people, I just can't see that I am the problem and what I did is wrong. Every time I look like I did the right thing, the other person did something wrong. Okay. The other person did something wrong. I see that I'm hurt. They hurt me. They did something wrong to me. Why did they say this? Why did they say that? Shuhu nafs. We have a couple of different instances that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ We have this. Being careful, be worried about and careful of شُحُّ nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be careful of it. What the nafs wants from you, what it makes you see. I always see myself as oppressed. I'm the one who's being wronged. Okay. If we don't get rid of this problem, if this issue is not dealt with, even if we identify correct akhlaq, we read about correct akhlaq, we ask about correct akhlaq, we want to try to implement it, we will end up implementing it in the wrong way. Again, we will start seeing good in ourselves and start seeing wrong in the behavior of others. This self-centeredness is the root of the problem. The root of bad akhlaq, self-centeredness. Focusing on the nafs, seeing the nafs, considering the nafs there. And the ultimate or the only way to get rid of shuhu nafs is to get rid of the nafs. As long as we are at a point where our nafs is alive, we're not going to be able to get rid of its desires, its wants, its deception, and so on and so forth. It's something that needs to be killed. It needs to go. Some of the urafa explain some of these verses of the Quran about فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتِ and so on and so forth. Wanting death. Okay. Or ending up in the state of that. There's a verse that suggests if a person leaves their house and doing hijrah ila Allah, migrating towards Allah, ثُمَّ يُدْرِكْهُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ If I read it correctly, those few words. If they die, then the ajr is on Allah. I remember Imam Khomeini, I believe, it was, there was a recording of his, and he was explaining this, that this is the death of the nafs. You have to do hijrah from the nafs towards Allah. You have to migrate from this nafs. And when do you arrive? يُدْرِكْهُ الْمَوْتِ When that death comes. The nafs needs to die. We need to want and work on having the nafs dead. I don't want it tamed. I want it dead because this damn thing, as long as it's alive, it is gonna cause trouble and problems. It's got to go away. It just should not be there. That's what it is. The nafs needs to go. And as I said, some have explained these verses of the Quran saying that if you are awliyaullah, you should tamannaw al-maut. You should want death. That's what it is. It's not physical death necessarily, although you should want that. When you want that, because that physical death is that nafs, okay? You should want it. The death that will happen as a result of this want is the death of the nafs. And if that nafs dies, if we're able to kill that nafs, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that for us, us begging Him and doing what He says that would lead us to that, then there is no nafs. then you'll be relieved. Then there will be only beauty. Then tasbih makes sense. Then Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen makes sense. Before that, you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But by saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I see this as a good thing for myself. So there is hamd for myself. I'm saying Alhamdulillah, but I'm going against that in my thoughts and thinking that I deserve hamd. Contradiction right there. There's no tawheed. There can't be tawheed while this nafs is alive. It's just not possible. It's not possible. Tawheed can only be possible if this nafs is dead. Lifeless nafs. We are supposed to want that. فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ We are supposed to want that. And ask for that. And beg for that. One of the interpretations of istighfar is that the flaw, the source of all flaws, the source of all faults, is the nafs. When I'm saying istighfar and I'm asking Allah, get rid of my flaws and my faults, that means get rid of my nafs entirely. Kill it, please. Ya Allah, take it away from me. I don't want that nafs. The want is important. We should ask when we read these du'as that we have, that some of them one way or another in the form of istighfar or other forms, they suggest this. We should be mindful of this idea and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us if in this life, because the Quran says, دعواهم فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحياتهم فيها سلام وآخر دعواهم أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Some believers, that doesn't describe the Quran in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, tells us that فكنتم أزواج وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون. There's three groups of people. There are the Ashabul Yameen, the people who are good people, but there are Ashabul Yameen, and then there are Ashabul Shamal, bad people. And then there's As-Sabiqoon, As-Sabiqoon, Ulaika Al-Muqarrabun. You have Muqarrabun. This verse is not talking about the Muqarrabun. It's talking about the Ashabul Yameen. Da'wahum fiha. What they will say is Subhanaka Allahumma. They start with Tasbih because their Tawheed is not complete. Then after a while in paradise, their tawheed becomes complete. They say, Alhamdulillah, akhiru da'wahum. The last da'wah is Alhamdulillah. Their tawheed is completed in Ashabul Yameen or Ashabul Maymana. Their tawheed will be completed in the hereafter. But then you have Muqarrabun, that their tawheed is completed here. And I'm not talking about the Imams and the Ahlul Bayt. They are a different story altogether. This tongue cannot describe them. What God has given them is beyond our imagination. We can't really talk about that. But out of the companions of the prophets and the imams, we have muqarrabun. We can be of the muqarrabun. The muqarrabun's tawheed is completed in this world. Atla Khushfaq used to say there's living shuhada. You reach a state in your development, you become a shaheed while you're alive. This is a different form of shahada. It means the nafs is dead. The nafs is dead. Tawheed is complete in this world before going to paradise. And then look at the descriptions of what these people, we are told of this every now and then. We need to hear it so that maybe we develop this desire, this want, and instead of having this race to get more material gains and benefits and blessings, we start wanting these great things and we start racing in that direction. People are working towards getting closer and closer to Allah. That's why the term there is As-Sabiqoon, As-Sabiqoon. They won the race. They sabaqu, they got ahead of everybody. Ulaika al-muqarrabun. They are the ones that are near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have the state of taqarrub. InshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us. Without the correct akhlaq, without trying. That's part of getting rid of the nafs. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to get rid of your nafs, one of the things that you're constantly going to deal with is shuhun nafs in the house. On one hand, you're asking Allah, oh Allah, kill this nafs. On the other hand, God says, okay, you want me to kill that nafs? Here you go. This is a scenario. You're supposed to control yourself. Here you need to be silent. There you need to speak up. Lower your voice, raise your voice. Whatever the situation is, the akhlaq that we're supposed to have. We fail, istighfar, oh Allah, I messed up, please forgive me, help me again. Okay, here's another time. Again, and again, and again, again, and again. Difficult times to get rid of that. And then when that nafs is taken away, then Jannah is right here. Alhamdulillah occurs right here. Another quote from Atla Khushfaq, may Allah bless his soul. I don't know why I'm remembering him tonight so much, but I didn't hear this from him directly myself. One of the, a teacher of mine who used to be a student of Atla Khushfaq and spent more time with him, mentioned that on a trip they had, I believe, to the north by the Caspian Sea in Iran, the scenery there is similar to the East Coast and some of the more woody and green areas of the U.S. Very beautiful scenery. The rest of Iran doesn't, most of the rest of Iran doesn't have that type of scenery. So anyhow, they'd gone over there. So beautiful setup. Anyhow, he was just sitting one day and, you know, the brothers, the people around him, students, disciples, if you like to call them that, sitting, he's just looking, and then he was like, why do they say the dunya is bad? I don't understand. You know, what's wrong with this? Because some of the ulama, zuhad, they speak negatively of the dunya. He said, there's nothing wrong with this dunya. Well, yeah, if the nafs is gone, the person has reached tawheed, then alhamdulillah. آخر دعواهم أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. The only they see is divine beauty, and it is wonderful. It is wonderful, and these are experiences that not too many people have. And in order to have them, we've got to give up on some of the lower. That's why they're called lower. They're there. Dunya means low. Okay, it's there. This is low compared to that. Low is a comparative term. You're comparing two things. It's there, yeah, it's enjoyable, but mata'un qalil. It's a small amount. Compared to that, it's low. It's nothing. If you think this gives you joy, that is way more. That'll fry your brains. It's so enjoyable. You can't comprehend it. All right. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us with first waking us up. One of the first things that needs to happen for a person is they call it yaqadha. In other words, waking up from deep sleep. We are put to sleep with a lullaby of the dunya. We need to wake up from that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wake us up, to help us to take our hand, to get rid of our nafs, inshallah, and to make us of his muqarrabun. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially the ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, to grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, their requests, especially those suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. And we ask Him to relieve all of us from this pandemic by providing a cure, showing us the cure that He has created, and show the believers that so that they can help other people and all people with this, inshallah. And we are, inshallah, going to get back to normal life. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Min Nabi wa Alih, rahimallah, man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.